The song says, "This is my Father's world. God made a beautiful creation, but this world has been tainted by sin and ungodliness. It seems like our world is getting worse and worse. Thank God there's a new world coming." This is Tony Brew Ministries, welcoming you for the following Bible teaching session entitled, "A New World Promised." Well, we have a lot of scripture today that some of it's in the lesson, some of it's not. But what a wonderful subject. A new world promised. God has promised us a new world. New heaven, new earth. Jesus Christ will return to judge the nations and welcome the redeemed. He came to the world the first time to save us. And he'll come to the world again the second time. Two purposes. According on which side of the fence you're on as to how he'll deal with you. If you're in the nations that are against God, you'll be judged. If you're part of the redeemed, he'll welcome you in to the everlasting kingdom. Our golden text is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. "We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." We're looking for that new heaven and new earth. When it says new, this earth that we're on right now, the psalmist said, "The earth abideth forever." So this earth is not going to be like demolished and just done away with. God, if God is able to create the earth out of nothing, and the scripture says he hung it on nothing, if he's able to do that, he's able to use the material of this earth to make it over again. And make it just like he intended it to be to start with. The difference in the new heaven and the new earth is that it contains, and the scripture says here, dwells righteousness. Now there's righteousness in this earth now to an extent, because God's people, they're righteous people, they're living on this earth. But this earth has a lot of unrighteousness. This earth has a lot of things that are not right, people that are not right, because they're not right with God. If you're righteous, you're right with God. But if you're not righteous, you're not right with God. And so this new heaven and new earth will be filled with righteousness. It won't just contain righteousness, it'll be filled with righteousness. Jesus came to the world to save. God sent his son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yeah. And the Messiah came, and he'll come again. When he comes a second time, he will change things and make it like it ought to be. He stood in the synagogue in Galilee in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and he quoted from Isaiah chapter 61. And we have the scripture from Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." So the Spirit of God is upon him, because God has anointed him. The anointing comes first, and then the Spirit of God. The anointing, the appointing, and the Spirit. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the glad tidings unto the meek." Luke says, "the gospel to the poor." "He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal those that are brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound." If you're captive, if you're bound, he comes to set you free. "If the Son therefore will make you free, you will be free indeed." And he comes to set us free, to open the prison to those who are bound. If you have committed a crime, you ought to do the time. But he comes to set you free. If you want to be free, you can be set free. Paul was bound in chains, but he was free in his heart. He was free in the spirit. He said, "I'm bound, but the word of God is not bound." So they can tie you up, they can bind you, but they cannot bind the word of God. Jesus said, "I've come to open the prison to those who are bound." There are many who are born again now, they're still in prison, but there are many that are born again who have been set free, both physically and spiritually. And that's what Jesus comes to do. He comes to set us free. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." If you read Luke's account, that's where Jesus stops with this scripture to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He didn't read any more of Isaiah. Now, he was reading. When he was reading the scripture that day, he wasn't reading from Luke, because Luke was written after that. He was actually reading from Isaiah's scroll. And he found that place that we're reading now, Isaiah 61. And he read the scripture, and he got to the place where it said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Not just talking about 360 or 365 day year, but he's talking about the time, the acceptable time, the year of the Lord, the church age, the preaching of the gospel. And he stopped there. And you might say, well, why did he stop there? It's because that was the only part of Isaiah 61 that was being fulfilled at that time. In fact, Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What part of the scripture? The part that we've just read so far. But Isaiah 61 continues to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Now that "and" conjunction, right there at that word, there's a vast time period of difference. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's where we are right now. And the day of vengeance of our God. Now that will not come until after the church age closes. The day of vengeance of our God is a judgment, the tribulation period. And he goes on to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. And he gives beauty for ashes. There's songs written about it. Turning graves into garden. Beauty for ashes. We can see application of that now. But you know when it really happens? Is that time during the tribulation period when people are so troubled in Israel. Jacob's trouble comes. The nation of Israel is backed up against the wall. They're threatened to be destroyed. And God reaches down and they look up and they realize that Jesus is who he really claimed to be. Amen. And they turn to God again. And he comforts those who mourn. He gives them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He says, take off that spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. We can do that now. Yeah. Many people need to. They need to take off that spirit of heaviness. Take off that spirit of CNN. Take off that spirit of Fox. Take off the fox coat and put on the lamb coat. You need to start listening to the lamb. Take off that spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. He will be glorified. All of this scripture. Jesus said, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. And if he has fulfilled it to the acceptable year of the Lord, you know he will fulfill the rest of it. But it cannot be fulfilled until this church age dispensation that we're in closes. When it does close, the rest of it will be fulfilled. When all of the scripture is ultimately fulfilled and the remnant of Israel is saved, the old waste places will be rebuilt. They will be recognized again nationally as a nation. They are now, but many of the world still do not recognize them, but they will be, and joy will be restored. The invitation is given, but it has to be accepted. Will it be accepted? Will it be rejected? I've included some verses in chapter 62 of Isaiah, verse 10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Now this is a preparation. You're getting stuff ready. You're getting things ready. You're getting things ready for the spreading of the gospel, for the coming of the Lord. Cast up. Cast up the highway. Get the road ready. That's what John the Baptist did. He came blazing a trail. Voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, getting things ready for the Lord to come the first time. We're to get things ready for the Lord to come the second time. Gather out the stones. Those stones. How many of you stepped on them little balls in the parking lot this morning? Just one of them will turn your ankle over just about it. So if those little things will do that, imagine what these stones in the way of the road will do. To gather out the stones, those things that come against and will hinder, to take the hindrances out of the way, lift up a standard for the people, not a double standard. We see so many double standards now, especially the world. But God doesn't have a double standard. His standard's the same, the standard of holiness and righteousness. Lift up a standard for the people. What kind of standard? It's a standard of godliness. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. He's got a message proclaiming to the end of the world. What in the world is it going to be? He says, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Jesus is coming. He came the first time, and just as sure as he came the first time, you know what he'll do? He'll come again.
Yes.
Hallelujah, he's coming back. Praise the Lord. He will proclaim salvation. He's coming. Tell the daughter of Zion, your salvation is coming. His reward is with him. He'll give you what's right. His work is before him. If you're faithful to him, if you love him and serve him, he'll reward you. If the world does not receive him and they don't come to him, his work is before him. He'll judge them. Whatever way he has to deal with you, that's what he'll do. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. It might look that God has forsaken his people, but God has not. Surely God has not forsaken his church, and he surely has not forsaken Jerusalem and Israel either. I am salt of them that ask not for me. God is saying to Israel, he said, I want you to hear this. You might not be listening to me. You might not be serving me. You might have broken my covenant. But I want you to know that I am salt of them who ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Now Israel was called by his name. But now he's saying, I am reaching out to people. And Israel, if you let me love you and save you, I will. But if you don't, I will reach out to the Gentiles. That's what God is saying. I am sought of them and found of them who sought me not. I have reached out my hands to you, and you didn't listen, but now I'm reaching out. Some people are coming to me. It's a nation that's not been called by my name. Who are they? Well, they're all over the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight, made up of every tongue, nation, tribe, kindred, all over the world. They're people that are coming to God. Israel, what you going to do about it? You better get mad and get right with God. That's what he said. So in the first verse, he's talking about the Gentiles. I have been found of them that were not eventually and previously asking for me. And now I've been sought of them. They were not seeking for me, but they have found me. They have come to me. And then he said, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Now, who is he talking about here? He's talking about Israel. In the first verse, the Gentiles are coming to God. But now he said, I've been dealing with a people. I've been dealing with Israel. I've stretched out my hands all the day unto a disobedient people. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of bricks. Instead of sacrificing in the temple, you've been sacrificing out in the open. You've been showing your man-made religion. You've been burning incense, not in the temple, but you've been burning incense out to other gods, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments. That is, they got their man-made religion. They eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things as in their vessels. They are, again, doing what they want to do. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. You got some people now, they think they're holier than everybody else. Fact is, without God, none of us are holy. So Israel says, don't come near to me, you old uncircumcised thing. Don't you come near to me. I've got my Judaism. I've got my religion. Yeah, you got your religion, but it won't take you 5 cents in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Religion will take you to the graveyard, throw a little dust in your face and say, he's a good old boy or a good old gal. but it won't take you any wise near to the pearly gates of heaven. God said this man-made religion, self-righteous, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all the day. While Gentiles are being saved, those of Israel who were depending on their own self-righteousness are promised swift chastisement. God said, I'll chastise them. I'll deal with them. Verse 11, but ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop. They're getting the things that God gave them. They're using it to serve false gods. And that furnish the drink offering unto that number. They're again sacrificing to false gods. Therefore will I number you to the sword. Ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. God laid it out on the line. He said, I've dealt with you. I've tried to reason with you. I've sent my prophets all day long to speak to you, and you haven't heard what I've said. The invitation's given, but it has to be either received or rejected. Israel rejected God's invitation over and over and over. And I'm reading through my Bible again, and I'm in Exodus now, and over again, God has just led them out of Egypt, getting them started to go towards the promised land, and they're already belly aching and complaining and moaning and groaning, and talking about what they don't have and what God is not going to give them. And he's led them into the wilderness to die, make graves in the wilderness. And all this is just starting. But God said, I've dealt with you. He sent the prophets. He gave them and did everything he said he would do. And they continually blaspheme his name and go against him. He's given the invitation. They didn't receive it. So what did God do? In his providential, sovereign knowledge, God said, I'll still save. I'll save me a people that were not seeking after me. I'll save me people that didn't even have a chance. I'll save those who are uncircumcised. I'll save those who are living in sin. So he reached out to us Gentiles. Thank God. I hate that Israel fell, but because of their fall, it means salvation to us now who are born again. And I'm so glad that we heard the gospel call. We have heard what many of them did not hear. We have received what many of them did not receive. So what should we do? We should pray for them. Lord, I thank you for them. I don't thank you for what they did, but I thank you for your people. Bless your people. Because God said, I'll bless them who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. You cannot be against Israel and be on the right side of God.
Amen.
So we must stand for God's people, not for everything they do, but we should pray for them. Paul didn't like everything they did. He was trying to get them to come back to God, but he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And he sought more than anything to get them to come to God. But he realized, and he told us about it, Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. Chapter 9 has Israel's past. Chapter 10 has Israel's present. Chapter 11 has Israel's future. That's in the book of Romans. You can read that. That's good reading. Chapter 9 is their past. Chapter 10 is their present. Chapter 11 is their future. The invitation's given. They rejected it. The Gentiles received it. Jesus said that. Paul said that. Same thing. The kingdom will be given to others. Jesus said it plainly. The kingdom will be given to others, another nation who will bring forth the fruits thereof. He's talking about the Gentiles. Paul shook his raiment and he said, I'm clean. From henceforth, I'll go to the Gentiles. And thank God. We who had no hope, we were without hope, without God in the world, but now ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God for his precious blood. I had no chance of being saved, but he saved me anyway. Now there's everlasting joy promised for God's people. Verse 17, we're in still Isaiah 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Now that word create, bara, is the same word that is used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God bara, he created the heaven and earth. And he said, I'll create a new heaven and a new earth. Well, doesn't new mean new? Yeah, it means new, but he's going to use this earth. He cannot just do away with this earth, because this earth has been touched by the blood of Jesus Christ that sanctified the ground. Can't just do away with the earth, but he has to do away with a lot of junk that's going on the earth. I'll create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. You won't even think about it anymore. You won't even think about, well, me and old Danny Joe, boy, we used to sit down on the fishing bank. We used to do this and used to do that. You're not going to think about that anymore. You're going to be so happy with him up there in heaven and everybody else up in heaven with Jesus, you won't even worry about what's going on. Used to be. Used to be won't even come into your mind. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. Don't worry about the past. Concentrate on the future. Behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Jerusalem will not be done away with. Israel will inhabit and inherit their land and be there forever. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. You won't have to worry about that anymore. God said he'd wipe all tears away from our eyes. They shall build, verse 21, the houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. God said, I'll let you enjoy your land. You'll sit every man under his vine, every man under his fig tree. Nobody will make you afraid. So many people are afraid right now, but God says the days are coming. The days of my people will be like the days of a tree. You'll live a long, long time. You'll have people during the millennial reign of Christ who will be like Methuselah. They'll live many, many years. The days of my people will be like the days of a tree. Verse 24, it will come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. How's that possible? Because we'll be with our Lord. God will be here with his people. He will be with his people. His people will be with him. This is a time when the wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. 2 Peter tells us about this world that we're living in. And these are verses that I've included so you can understand. 2 Peter 3:5. This they willingly are ignorant of. These people who scoff and say Jesus is never coming. They are willingly ignorant of the fact that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. This is when God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So what in the world's that? Well, all you got to do is go to an island. If you go to an island, it'd be the Bahamas or Hawaii or wherever you want to go. The earth standing out of the water is the part that you walk on. But if you go in the water, you still have earth down there, the ocean floor. The earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. What's that talking about? It's talking about the flood. The flood came to the old world. The same world that God created was overrun by the flood, Noah's flood, if you want to call it that. And so God purified the earth off then. All the living things were destroyed, but the world, the earth, was still there. But the earth perished in that sense that the life that was on it perished, the flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word that said light be and light was, the same word said rain come down 40 days and 40 nights, and it did. And now the same word, they're kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God will judge it. He won't destroy it by water anymore, but he will destroy it, that is, in the sense of purifying it off, by fire. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord, that's the judgment, will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God will purify this thing off. The atoms, the elements will melt with fervent heat. all those boats and shotguns and houses and everything that people are working and living and dying for, all that's going to be burned up. All the money in the bank, all the gold in Texas, all wherever it is, it's going to be burned up. All the oil, everything's going to go up in smoke. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We should live for God, looking for and hasting unto the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, this is the second time it's mentioned. God says something two times, you better watch out. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, thank God for that we, that means you and me, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's why God says in Revelation 21:5, behold, I make all things new. God will make it all new. He'll fix it all up. You won't have to worry about this old world anymore. The earth, yeah, it'll be here. But he'll make everything new. Behold, I make all things new. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. God will purify this thing off. There'll be no separation. Heaven and earth, the city of God will come down, hover over this world. People, the nations of the world will be open to it. The gates will be open. No night there, no need of the sun or the moon to shine in that city. It will be a glorious city. The Lamb will be the light of that city. And Israel will dwell on this earth in their land. They will enjoy their land forever. You and I will be in that holy city, but we'll enjoy forever. I'm not necessarily looking forward to going to the old Jerusalem. There have been people that paid a lot of money, went over there and saw that, and they came back, and they were blessed by it. But I'm looking forward to going to that heavenly city, that place where Jesus and our loved ones are. Father, we thank you for the promise, a new world promised. We thank you for your promise, and we, according to your promise, do look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Lord, I pray that somehow this message would get out to people of the world. They would realize that the frivolous things that we're involved in now are so foolish, so finite, so temporal. Help us not to look at the things that are seen, which are temporal, but the things that are not seen, which are eternal. And I pray that many would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Get in on this wonderful promise of a new world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always a joy to have you listening to our teaching and preaching sessions. The title of this teaching session has been A New World Promised. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.